Everything that you've seen on these kids' posters can be found at the cross. And Brother Corey touched on something earlier this week that helped me solidify what I was going to talk about tonight. And it's crazy how God aligns all of this, and nobody really knows who's speaking on what till we get here. And then you start listening to messages, and you're like, hey, that's going to tie in. Hey, that's going to tie in. We think, oh, that's just coincidence. God don't work on coincidence. God orchestrates everything and puts it all together to make everything work and gel together. So it is an honor and a privilege to be able to be here again. And I want to talk to you tonight about the man on the middle cross. About the man on the middle cross. So I want to take you back to a day where everyone celebrates. It's called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, everybody is shouting Hosanna. They're laying things in the street ahead of Jesus, and they are worshiping the King coming in. It is a big day for everybody. They're shouting Hosanna. They're cheering for a Savior. But many people misunderstood the kind of king that he would become. Just days later, the same crowd that shouted Hosanna is the same crowd that shouted Crucify. The same crowd shouted Crucify. This message should hit home because life is full of choices. And at the center of it all stands the man at the middle cross. And his name is Jesus. And on that cross, we're going to see three different responses. Three pictures of humility and one life-changing truth. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the chapter of Luke, or in the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to depict what the cross looked like. In Luke 23, starting in verse 39, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly do what we receive for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much, God, for another beautiful day that you've given us, God. We thank you for the rain that you've provided. Lord, we thank you, God, for a good week at camp. Lord, I thank you for Dr. Joe and Michelle, God, and Brother Corey for all that they've poured into us this week. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just anoint me today, God. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Lord, speak through me, God, so it would pierce the hearts of those that are here. Lord, I pray that you be high and lifted up in all that we do. Lord, I pray that you just be with this congregation tonight. Lord, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Father, I pray by the end of tonight, God, that they would come and find the Savior. Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first question that I want to ask you tonight is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Saturday morning, Brother Corey addressed the issue of the cross. So you've got one group who's repenting, and the others that don't, when he was talking about John the Baptist. So he's already set the groundwork for what's happening here. On the cross, you've got two men in the same situation, but they have different hearts. Two men, same situation, different hearts. On either side of Jesus were two criminals in the same crime category, in the same punishment, in the same proximity to Jesus. But they have two completely different responses. One hangs there and he's mocking Jesus. He says, "Hey, if you're who you say you are, why don't you save yourself and us? Why are you just going to hang there? Why are you suffering? Why are you doing this when you can save us all? Then the other said, hey, we deserve this. We deserve this. This man has done nothing wrong. See, the thief on the cross, he knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. He knew. In life, we can all hear the same message but respond completely differently. Some of us can blame. Some of us take responsibility. Some of us mock faith. And then you have some that lean into it. My prayer for you is to lean in to the promise of God. Lean in to the man on the middle cross. But see, being close to Jesus isn't the same as believing in him. And we see that depicted with the thief on the cross. Both of them were close in proximity. They were the same distance apart. But being close doesn't mean you believe. Because one of them didn't believe. He's like, we're hanging here. We don't have to do this. Like, if you're who you say you are, take us down. Being close doesn't matter. Second thing is, the middle cross changes everything. The middle cross changes everything. When you get to heaven, and the angel asks you, why are you here? Why should we let you in? If the next phrases out of your mouth begin with, because I did this, because I did that, I believed, I went to church, I paid my tithes, you've missed it. It's not about you. Because I am unworthy. My righteousness is as filthy rags. If you answer that in the first person, you've missed it. But if you answer it in the third person, because the man on the middle cross, because he said I could be here. He's the reason we make it to heaven. Not because anything that I've done. It's because everything that he's done for me. How many of you have ever heard of Alistair Begg? A couple? So some of you may have heard this, but it is one of the best stories and interpretations that I've ever heard on this. And Alistair Begg tells this story about the man on the middle cross. So can you imagine the thief on the cross when he gets to the gate? He had never been to a Bible study, never got baptized, don't know anything about church membership, never paid a tithe, never got baptized, and yet he made it. So can you imagine what that conversation's like when he gets to the gate and that angel's standing there and he's asking him, he's like, why are you here? I don't know. What you mean you don't know? Don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So then he goes and gets another angel. And he's like, hey, you got to come see this. Like, this man, he said that he don't know why he's here. And I don't know if we should let him in or not. So you got to come tell me if we need to let him in. So he gets there and they start asking questions. He says, are you clear on the doctrine of justification? It's like, nope, never heard of it. Well, do you know anything about doctrine? Not a clue. So why are you here? Like how does all this work? All I know is the man on the middle cross said I could. Amen. The man on the middle cross said I could. So I don't know what you do with theology and all that, but that man had nothing. He was hanging on the cross, never been to church, never paid a tithe, never done any of that, but he made it. Because he put his faith and his trust in the man on the middle cross. Amen. Where is your faith and trust in the man on the middle cross as you sit here tonight? That man didn't have a clue how he made it. All he knows is, hey, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus wasn't just on a random cross. He was on the middle cross. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't on accident. He was positioned between the two sinners. Why? Because he came to die for sinners. He came to die for us. Amen. He wasn't there for his sins because he had none. Right. He was there for ours. And can you imagine? He factored in all the stupid things that I was ever going to do in my life when he went to the cross. He said, Andrew, I know all the stupid things you're going to do, but I'm going to take the cross and I'm going to pay the price for you. Amen. What a God we serve. See, that middle cross represents three things. It represents substitution because he took our place. It represents access because he is reachable from either side. And it also represents decision because you can either reject him or you can receive him. And there's people that attend church services every week that say, I received him, but their hearts are far from them. Just because you attend church every week doesn't mean that you are saved, sanctified believer in Jesus Christ. Just because you pay your tithes or teach a Sunday school class, none of that matters. What matters is what you've done with the man on the middle cross. He's the one that we have to look to. It's not anything that I could do. You see, Jesus describes this future moment when he returns in glory and he separates people like shepherds separate sheep and goats. In Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will shed the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. If you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You see, the sheep represent those who follow Christ and live it out. And the goats represent those who reject him. And in 41, it says, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, or his demons. Do you understand that it says, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Meaning that hell is not made for you. Hell was never created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. Brother Corey talked about what authority Satan has, and it's the authority that we give him. We give him far more authority over our life than he deserves. Right. We serve a mighty God that gives us power and authority to trample on serpents, to break down strongholds. But yet we allow Satan to have so much authority and say in our life. Hell's not created for you. That's a choice that you make. You choose to go to hell. God didn't choose for you to go there. He made a way. And it's called the man on the middle cross. His name's Jesus. He sent a Savior to save you so you wouldn't have to go to hell. So if you go, it's by your choice. And we see the separation over and over and over through Scripture. But here's the connection to the cross. At Calvary, there were two sides. That was the thief that rejected and the thief that received. That's your two options. Jesus stands in the middle as the redeemer of humanity. The rest of us are on the other crosses with a choice. The choice is yours. Just like in Matthew 25, there's a separation that's not based on popularity. It's not based on your talents. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how much money you have. The only thing it's based on is what you've done with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then I'm here to tell you that you're not going to make heaven. C.S. Lewis said, "Hell is full of people that didn't want to be with God." Hell is full of people that didn't want to be with God. I don't know about you, but that's not a place I want to be. I want to be with God. I want to be with God as much as I can be, because He is far, far greater than anything. Just like every athlete has a choice. Will you live for stats, or will you live for something eternal? Will you follow the crowd, or will you follow Christ? Jesus is still in the middle, and He's still giving people a choice. What choice do you make? The third thing, one decision changes your eternity. One choice changes your eternity. One thief rejected Jesus, but all the others said was, "Hey, whether you're real or not, I don't know. But if you are, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" That's all he knew. He saw something about the man on the middle cross that was different. He saw that he wasn't like him and his friend that were hanging on the other two crosses. He noticed a difference. And Jesus responded. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And today he's telling somebody in this congregation that today you will be with him in paradise. All you have to do is accept and say yes, Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. That thief on the cross had no time to fix his past. I asked the teens this, I'll ask you, how many of you like to fish? How many of you have ever cleaned a fish before you caught it? So why do you try to do the same thing with God? You try to clean yourself up before you come. That ain't what God asked of you. He said, "You come, I'll take care of the rest. You come, I'll take care of the rest." You can't clean a fish before you catch it, just like you can't clean yourself up before you come to God, because you don't have the power to do so. Your flesh is weak. It's the man on the middle cross that makes the difference. He gives us the power. The thief on the cross had no chance to prove himself that he was going to follow Christ. He had no opportunity for good works. All he had was faith. And his faith that day was enough. His faith that day was enough. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. You just have to be willing. In our FCA back home, we talk about three things. We talk about commitment, we talk about discipline, and we talk about effort. But salvation isn't earned like a starting position. It's received. Salvation is received. God paid a price that you can't pay. He's the one that made a way by the man on the middle cross. The fourth thing, Palm Sunday was never about popularity. It was about purpose. It was about purpose. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was celebrated. On Good Friday, he was crucified. Why? The people wanted a conquering king. They wanted somebody to come and overthrow Rome. But Jesus came as a saving Savior. Right. He didn't come to conquer. He came to save. Amen. In life, it's easy to chase popularity. It's easy to chase recognition. It's easy to chase the applause. It's easy to chase the money. But have you ever noticed it's not always easy to chase Jesus? Because everything Satan wants to throw in your path to make you not want to. Because sin's a lot of fun, but only for a season. That season will change, and your life will become miserable. But all of that, Jesus didn't die for the money. He didn't die for the popularity, for the applause. He died for your soul. He died for your soul. But a lot of us want to hold on to that. We're like, nope, I ain't ready to give it up yet. I got a whole life to live. Do you? The Bible says your life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. See, we play Russian roulette with our salvation. I've got another day. I've got another month. I've got another year. I've got time. Till your time runs out. Then you have no time. So I ask you tonight, which cross is yours? We know it's not the one in the middle. But which cross are you? Because each one of us in here tonight stay on either side. You stand on the side of rejection, or you stand on the side of acceptance. Which cross is yours? There were three crosses that day. The cross of rejection, the cross of acceptance, and then the cross of redemption. And today the question isn't what happened on that hill that day. The question is, what are you going to do with the man on the middle cross? What are you going to do with the man on the middle cross? Are you pushing Jesus away? Are you ignoring him? Or are you calling on him? Think about that game-winning moment. Clock's running out. Everything's down to one decision, one shot, one play. The thief on the cross, he had his moment, and he took it. And he says, hey, remember me. He took his shot, and it paid off. You have that final shot. What if this was the last time you heard a message preached about Jesus? What if this was the last time you ever heard anybody draw you to salvation? Because the Holy Spirit is drawing. I'm not drawing. I can't draw you. I don't have the power or the authority to save you, but God does. Amen. He's the one that does that. See, we don't always get to control everything in our life. But what you do get to control is what you do with Jesus. That's up to you. That's a choice that each one of us must make. You can't go to church go to heaven on mom and daddy's shirt, on their shirt tail. You can't go on the prayers of your grandparents. That's a personal decision that you have to make and decide that I will follow Jesus. See, the man on the middle cross is still changing lives today. See, that man on the middle cross, he sees you. He sees you in your pressure. He sees you in your struggles. And he sees you in your identity battles. He's not asking you to be perfect. All he's asking you is to come. Just come. Just come. All you got to do is just come. He loves you. As KMBC gets ready to come and prepare an altar song, this evening I want to ask you, have you yourself made your decision about the man on the middle cross? Matthew 25 makes it clear that there is coming a day of separation. It's not teammates versus opponents. It's not starters versus bench players. It's not hard workers versus lazy workers. It's not about popular versus unpopular, rich or poor. It's about those who know Jesus and those who don't. It's just that simple. Those that do or those that don't. If you've been playing the part of a Christian but you're not living it, if you've been close to Jesus but not committed, or if you've been running, this is your moment. This is your cross moment. You have a choice to make. Just like the thief, all you have to say is, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's just that easy. God laid the framework for all of it to happen. He sent his son to die on a cross to pay a price you can't pay. The request is simple. Just come. Let me do the rest. Just come. Will you come? As we sing, the altars are open.
The work is finished.